If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Called the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
You haven't watched that, you're missing out. Just want to let you know. They play some pretty good football there sometimes. They also play some bad football, and they also make nutty decisions. But other than that,
wait, is it
the NFL.
Is this where the best players in college go play?
Yeah.
That league.
Yeah.
Sounds pretty good.
By the way, Brain was telling a story Monday afternoon. I didn't see it, but he was basically saying, and he was talking about Ryan Fitzpatrick, right, with the Dolphins.
Fitzmagic.
So he was saying that there was a play. We'll get to Steve Coughlin in a moment. We'll get to Steve Coughlin now. Hey, Steve, good morning.
I'll just sit quietly in the corner until it's my turn to talk.
Dogs in the NFL, Georgia, sports communication. You'll enjoy this. So Brain was saying, and I'm probably not going to tell it right, so something happened to – there was a play where Fitzpatrick got blasted. But it required – but nothing was called, but it, as far as that went. But there was something they had to go review, and when they were reviewing, they saw that he got blasted. So he had to come out. So he said, this is so Miami that their starting quarterback has to come out of a game, but there was no penalty called against the other team. Just that because of that.
So you're saying like the medical observer saw something?
In the replay.
Yeah.
So he had to come out. Basically, if they hadn't had to go to a replay on that play, he would still been in the game. So I know I get it. You want to err on the side of caution, but that is pretty weird. That then he was like, I think Brain was kind of like, you know, only the Dolphins. I was like, no. Only the Falcons, only the dog. Yeah, I can think of some other teams.
A lot of teams I cheer for have dumb stuff happen.
Stuff like
to them.
That. But anyway, yeah.
But when you have no wins or one win or two wins, it accentuates it even more.
That's right. And they now have a two-game winning streak.
That's right.
Yeah, the Dolphins do. Anyway, good morning to you, Steve. How are you?
You know, I'm doing great. Woke up this morning a little cold out there.
Mm.
A little cold, but it felt good.
I don't know. It looks nice from the window.
Yeah, like Rodney was saying.
It looks gorgeous.
Yeah.
That wind is what gets you.
Yeah.
30 feels like 23.
All right, Steve, let's start talking about
Logan Duddy, want to go there.
The dogs on the Falcons, because what a win by the – oh, wait.
Strike one.
Wait a second. Strike one. We don't have any Falcons to talk about, but I guess I'll just throw it in there. What happened, man? How did the Falcons pull that one off? Not like you care. I'm just curious.
You know, it's funny because
it's very weird.
No Bulldogs for the Saints, no Bulldogs for the Falcons.
That's right.
I'm not sure I even saw much of that game except to see the score.
I watched it in 10 minutes on YouTube. That's what I'm going to start. That's how I've been watching the Falcons now. I don't have time. I ain't got time to sit there and spend 3.5 hours on Sunday watching them.
You know, you say that, and I think SportsCenter or shows like that have done that to us as well, where you can get an encapsulated game in a couple of minutes as opposed to 3 hours.
I'm telling you.
It's not
that I don't like it, but it's just like after you've invested an entire Saturday to the dogs, because essentially that's what it is. Especially when they're at home, you've invested an entire day. Sunday, you just got to decompress a little bit.
Yeah, we find, too, that you know after church and after lunch, there's a plan maybe to watch the Falcons, and then I doze off.
And then you fall asleep.
And it's in the fourth quarter.
I saw half of the second quarter, but then I was gone for a little while.
It's amazing how that happens.
Yeah. Nothing like a good old Sunday lunch and a good old nap.
We're just men of a certain age, Dave.
I know. Well, it's pretty sad.
I had the dog in the mountains. I haven't admitted this
yet. Did you take a nap?
Did not. I was hiking, looking at gorgeous views. And when I got back into civilization about 5 o'clock, I pulled the phone out to check the scores, fully expecting like a 45-10 Saints victory. And I saw that 26-9? And I had to do like 3 takes to realize, like, no, that's right.
I know. It's like, what?
That's actually what happened.
What's going on?
Very crazy.
All right. So,
anyway,
this is not a $5 question for you, Logan.
Why not?
Because I don't know the answer.
What if I do?
It's still not a $5 question. I have to know the answer, too. So, who would have been the last Bulldog to play for the Falcons and then for the Saints?
Wow. Okay. Well, Ben Watson was a Saint
last year. Is that right? Or was that 2 years
last
ago?
Last year.
Okay.
Yeah.
But he didn't play for the Falcons, did he?
No. I don't mean both. I mean for each team.
Oh, for each. I gotcha.
Yeah. For each team.
Then Jason Stanley was on the practice squad, isn't
yep.
he?
And Blair,
And Blair Walsh had a tryout with him. Mm-hmm.
But, like, who actually played in a game.
Roster. Yeah.
I'm drawing Would it be Akeem
Dent? Akeem
Dent?
Yeah.
There you go.
Would he be the last one?
Who is
one?
Now an assistant coach in the NFL.
Really?
Is he really? Good for him.
With, I believe it's the Texans.
You know what he was? He was an underrated baller.
He was. Very good player.
And a good dude, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, you think we're going with Akeem Dent? Until someone, I'm sure we'll get an email or whatever letting us know. But it is weird.
There's been so.
And I'm
few.
Not going. On, I'm not going on that the Falcons won't take Bulldogs no, rant. No. I'm not going there. But I'm just curious, who would be the last one?
And there have been so few that you would think it would kind of
you
jump
would know
to mind for us. I mean,
exactly. Mitch Davis.
Shockley was with them for for a little while, but I'm not sure
he
ever got.
He never played in
a
game.
Regular season game.
No.
Yeah, so
he's the greatest Falcon that never played in a game.
I think technically Eric Zeier might have been a Falcon for a few minutes.
Did he play in a game for him?
I don't think he ever did. I think he was a camp guy as well.
So Mitch Davis was drafted by them. I mean, that's going back to the early 90s.
You got a media guide?
Yeah,
here?
Well.
We could do some homework maybe.
Our own media guide?
Maybe during the break.
Yeah. But
that's
yeah.
just going to show draft.
Draft,
well,
right.
There, yeah, it may show it. You'd have to find – it's listed by players, and then how, who
right.
they played for. That'll be a deeper dive.
So, yeah, at least as far as the draft goes, Akeem Dent was the last player the Falcons drafted from Georgia, and that was in 2011. Thomas Brown was drafted by them
right.
in 2008.
And he played in some preseason, but I don't think he ever got into a game.
Yeah. Martrez Milner in 07, Deej in 2006. And Mitch Davis in 94.
Wow.
Then Troy Sadowski, who was actually very good.
Tight end and snapper.
Yeah.
He made his bones as a snapper for a long
time. Yes, he did. He played in the league for a long time.
He really did.
Then you had Scott Werner in 81.
Oh, I've forgotten that.
Alan Levitt in 77. And back in 68, they drafted Ray Jeffords, a tight end. That's it.
I think it's got to be Akeem Dent.
Yeah, based on my long search through Wikipedia, the most recent Falcon to have actually played on a Sunday, I think, is Akeem Dent.
Wow.
2013.
And he was actually traded by the Falcons,
mm-hmm.
so he was an active player.
Yeah, they sent him to the Texans.
To the Texans.
Yeah. Man, that is crazy.
You know, Tony Gilbert played for the Falcons for a few minutes as well. He came from Jacksonville
mm-hmm.
to the Falcons.
He was 08 and 09.
Yeah.
And then I noticed, like, Verron Haynes, it says Falcons 09. I don't – maybe that was a – I don't – did he play for the Falcons?
If he's listed as a – you know, with a year, it probably means practice squad
yeah.
or IR.
Yeah.
Because I don't remember him ever being active as
well.
Do
you do this in the media guide? Do you update the Bulldogs and the pros?
Several of us are involved
yeah.
in it. And, you know, the criteria is active, practice squad, or injured reserve, not camp. Camp would be
that doesn't count. Y'all wouldn't put it in there if they were just in camp.
It's just way too much because you have people who go to so many camps.
It's funny. I love Scott Werner, and one time we had him on the air, and I brought up Jerry Glanville, and I was like, "That was not a good question." He did
really?
Not, yeah. yeah,
he did not like that.
No, sir.
Really?
He was not a fan.
Well, I'll tell you
that?
What, Steve.
Yeah.
Steve, you're a man that knows people in high places. So next time you talk to Thomas Dimitroff, please ask him to draft more Falcons. We would appreciate. I mean, draft more Bulldogs. Forgive me. We'd appreciate that.
I've seen him at the pro days.
Yeah.
I don't think we've ever spoken though.
He's never come to your office to chit chat a little
I'll
bit.
I'll slip him a note. How about that?
Tell you the upcoming plans for the draft.
Isn't it funny?
I thought Steve was in that inner circle.
All
man.
Right. So who was the last Bulldog to play for the Saints? We don't have that skinny.
I think we're right on that one. I think it's Ben Watson.
No.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Ben Watson.
Yeah,
what year was that though? Because.
Last year.
Damian Swan very recently was
Yeah,
the
Damian was on the team
Saint
2 years
also.
Ago. That's right.
So I'll let this go in a moment, just out of curiosity. So the last
Ben was
Bulldog they drafted, yeah, you said mm-hmm. Damian Swan. They drafted John Jenkins.
Mm-hmm.
They drafted Jonathan Sullivan,
hey,
who
wow.
was an awesome, awesome player for Georgia in 2002.
Our man John Stinchcomb has a
Jonathan
Saints
Sullivan did not have
Super Bowl
a stellar. He was what you would call a bust. Yeah, and then John Stinchcomb also in 2003. Charles Grant. picking some good players over the years.
And those guys all stuck.
Yes.
They all
yes.
played, so that's a, yes. that's a good list there for sure.
Jonathan Sullivan was the outlier on all of that. Do you remember what was he like?
Quiet.
He's just quiet?
Very quiet. He didn't speak much at all.
It's just funny. That season he had no two was incredible. But I just don't remember much else about him.
But if you ask, you know, guys like Pollock, they'll tell you that their stats were a byproduct of what he
of
was
what
doing.
He did,
And you know,
he was so good that year. He really was.
He just clogged up the middle.
Whew. Where do you want to start, Steve?
You know, how about a couple of feel good stories?
All right.
To start with.
Does that mean we don't have any on the field stories?
We do.
Oh, okay.
We do. We do. We haven't had a chance to talk much about David Andrews this year because of the blood clot situation that's got him sidelined for the season, and we really don't have a lot of information beyond this season if it's going to be a long-term type of thing for him or not. But I was reading that he still comes to Foxborough every day for meetings, for practices, works with the linemen, kind of a de facto offensive line coach.
He has to. I would assume that's probably in the CBA.
It probably is.
Yeah. Not trying to burst
your... No. But where I was going with that, though, was, the diagnosis came during camp.
Mm-hmm.
And even after that, his teammates made him a team captain for the season.
It's crazy.
Knowing he wasn't going to play. And I think the fact that he shows up and does that, you know, for them is... is very telling of what kind of person he is. He also he had a moment back in the summer, and I remember when they did this, he went to a children's hospital in Boston, and he worked with one of the patients there on designing a Patriots wool cap, a stocking cap, he sat with her and they talked about colors and fabric and designs and everything. Well, the hat has been in production. It's now out.
Nice.
Available on the Patriots website. And $5 from every purchase goes back to the Boston Children's Hospital.
Nice.
So good to
altruism.
See. Altruism. So we may have to come up with a cool name for him, you know, like Mr. Blackwell. You know, he's Mr. Andrews now, if he's a fashion designer.
Boss Blackwell.
Boss Blackwell. Mr. Boss.
That's right.
I love it.
Very cool.
So, and then in the same vein, Javon Wims, who plays for the Bears, he got word that there was a single mom with two kids who has been battling breast cancer in the Chicago area, and she is a big leader of the Cancer Survivorship Center there in Chicago, and so he went to surprise her with some Bears swag and things like that. Anyway, he gets talked into doing a cardio class with her and the others, and after 10 minutes, he puts his hands up and he's like, "I'm out. y'all are way too fit for me."
That's awesome.
Professional athlete who can't get through a cardio class.
I don't do cardio, Steve. I just avoid it at all costs.
But I thought that was a nice story that Javon was able to go and you know, spend some time with those women and really. This lady, you know, she's gone through the breast cancer herself, but she's in remission now. But she's still a very big part of that group. She offers rides to women who need to come to the center. She counsels them when they're there. So it was Javon's way of sort of patting her on the back for things that she does for others. And I thought that was a nice story.
Fantastic.
Okay, how about on the field?
By the way,
can
these guys hang from a bar?
Not for
2 minutes.
No.
Especially if it's rotating, right? You know, that was the X factor. And I think I talked to some gymnasts about that. They thought hanging from the bar for 2 minutes would be no problem, but the rotation of it was what was going to make it.
Your hands set in differently.
I still want to try it. I'm just curious. David, I may last 15 seconds, but I want to try it. I want to see.
Dave and I will record that.
Please do.
We'll give you $5 if you can do it.
All right, on the field, Steve, $5. $5 challenge.
Logan,
that's what we need to have.
$5?
No.
Bar for 2 minutes.
I'm not doing it. That's a $10 challenge. On the field, one of my favorite dogs of all time for a lot of good reasons. Nick Chubb continues to have a pretty good young career in the NFL.
Anytime you can get your name in the same sentence with Jim Brown, you've done – or James Brown.
Or James
Either one.
Either.
Pick one.
Either.
But certainly – Jim Brown is the standard bearer for all things running backs in Cleveland. And Nick this week went over 900 yards for the season, which put him with Jim Brown as the only Browns with that many yards after the first nine games. So basically what they're saying is averaging 100 yards per game. So good to see that. Dave and I were talking. Actually, I think we were texting about this. Nick last year should have been a 1,000-yard rusher. So he goes over 1,000. He gets to 1,001. The Browns go crazy. They tweet out a graphic, you know, congratulations to Nick Chubb, first Browns rookie to get to 1,000, joining Brown and Hillis, you know, as 1,000-yard rushers.
Right.
Next play, minus 5 yards.
No.
I like in your notes, so. Steve's notes just say, minus 5 next play, Dave Hampton. That's all it said, Dave Hampton.
Which is the story
Falcons
that you and I remember.
Know.
Yeah.
Same thing, first Falcon to get over 1,000 yards in a season.
Stop the game, right? Gave him
then
the ball.
Then he loses yardage and finishes the year with less than 1,000.
And Nick's was, again, such a Browns moment. He has a minus 5 deal, so then they're trying to go hurry up the rest of the game by just passing. So he never gets another carry the rest of the game. So that was tough for him. But at 919 through week, what are we in now, 10? I think he's got a pretty good shot at getting to 1,000.
If that happens again this year, something has gone horribly wrong.
Horribly wrong. And he's third in the league right now in rushing. So he's got a shot at making a lot more noise as the season goes on.
He's got a shot at a second contract coming up sooner or later, which I'm very excited for him as well. So
you know the Browns have been a dumpster fire this year, and they get Kareem Hunt back. You'd mentioned him in your notes too. Plus with Beckham and Landry, and it's like and Mayfield. They got a big win this past weekend, and maybe that'll help them out there a little bit. Because I pull for them for Chubb.
Yeah, they've got the offensive talent.
Yeah.
It feels like to do better than they're doing. Their problem has been in the red zone. They have not been able to score in the red zone.
Is that right?
And so it sounds like maybe with Nick and, as you mentioned, Kareem Hunt there together, there's a chance that they might have a little more firepower in the running attack. They haven't really said what that's going to be yet. But I think Kareem had – I think he had about, 20 plays on offense, I think, this past week or maybe more.
Yeah.
So, again, if he and Nick can share the load and Nick can stay fresher – it's just going to be better.
It's going to help both of them.
It's
going to
be better
for
both of them, no doubt.
For sure. Well, it's definitely a big story that Matthew Stafford didn't play on Sunday.
An odd story as well, and we'll talk a little more about that. But, Matthew had not missed a game since 2011, the season opener in 2011. And, Dave, I know you've dealt with back issues in your lifetime. Fractured bones in your back just does not sound good.
No, it does not.
At all. But Matthew had started 136 straight games, which was the second active streak behind Phillip Rivers, who's at 217. And it's the sixth overall streak, and this is among quarterbacks, of course, in NFL history. So that streak is over. I know Matt Ryan's streak ended earlier this year as well. So, but kind of an odd story in that Matthew was questionable all week. Limited in practice is how they had him on the report. I think he was going through some drills. He says he knew that Saturday he wasn't going to start, but then Sunday was where it got a little sideways. You know, they had not – questionable doesn't – that's there's another step, you know, before out that they had not gotten to. And, you know, even he said, I was willing to dress. I knew I wasn't going to start, but I could dress. I could be the emergency guy. I could be the backup guy, whatever they needed. But – they decided just to deactivate him all the way.
So let me ask you this. This will explain things. This will explain it with Steve just answering my questions. Who is the coach of the Lions?
Matt Patricia.
Where did he come from?
The New England Patriots.
Who knows how to manipulate the injury report better than any other team? The New England Patriots.
You know, those are $5 questions I would have gotten, by the way. I knew Matt Patricia was the coach of the Lions.
Yeah. Enough said.
I just can't get past the words written right here in front of me. Fractured bones in back. To me, that just sounds horrifying. And the fact that he was even questionable, and we are understanding he played for weeks with this I don't know if they were fractured. We may not know that, but this has been an issue for a while now.
Yeah, he's dealt with a lot through his career. In fact, I think he had the back problem a year or two ago, and then I think it happened in the last couple of games where he took a hit that either started this or exacerbated it, whatever it was. But he's that fractured bones in your back just does not sound pleasant at all. So wishing nothing but the best for him. And he was asked, you know, are you going to shut it down the rest of the year? And his quote was, that's not my thinking. So I think he's going to try to get himself back in there and see what happens. And again, he's having a good year and they're having a solid season. So, you know, they've got a lot of football left to play. Maybe it's just a
– They just happen to be in the wrong division. Yeah, that's their problem, the Packers and the Vikings. I know the Bears have been a little bit down, but that's a tough division.
And maybe they'll maybe for Matthew it is a one game type of thing, and he'll get back out there. And
what else you got?
Keep going. Well, you know, Dave, I know you've got a lot of income that you're trying to diversify.
Yeah, he does.
And I was thinking that maybe the three of us could discuss maybe a timeshare. Leonard Floyd in Chicago has bought a new house for $650,000.
Okay.
He's trying to sell his old house for $565,000.
Okay.
So maybe the three of us split that, and get in up there in Lake Forest, Illinois.
Mm, okay. Which it sounds very warm in the winter.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, yes. No, that'd be a timeshare would be great. The three of us could just share that whenever we want to go see the Bears play.
No, but you know, the Bears just picked up the option for Leonard for a fifth year, and his base salary next year is just going to be a paltry $13.2 million. So I guess he can afford to move up in houses. Just,
that doesn't. I mean, to be honest with you, that doesn't sound like very much it's for not, those guys. I know. That's good for him if that's what he's doing.
He's saving for retirement is what he's doing.
I went on Zillow and looked at it. It had hardwood floors and new fixtures and the whole bit. So
I don't even know. Is there a Mrs. Floyd? I'm not sure.
I don't think he's married.
Does he have help with the designing, or is it all him? Who knows?
I don't know that he's married. So that'll be homework for next
love
week.
Love me some Leonard. I think the lasting image, he had so many good moments at Georgia, but him sort of – it was him that got after Zach Mettenberger in that 2013 LSU game between the hedges. Got a big sack on one of those final possessions, and just a great day. Good for Leonard. Love to see him succeed at the next level.
And, of course, Leonard's teammate with the Bears, Roquan Smith, has really turned the corner the last couple of games, especially with 21 tackles the last 2 weeks, 11 this past week. You know, the Lions threw the ball. Now, this is, again, with Jeff Driscoll and not Matthew Stafford. They threw the ball 46 times in that game, and Roquan still got 11 tackles, which tells me the passes were fairly short passes because he's still able to engage the offensive guy. So sounds like the Roquan that we knew and loved here has found
that guy's a loser. He lost his playbook.
Logan, let's make sure that everybody knows Dave said that.
Yeah, absolutely. I would never say that about.
Was that columnist for the Bears? For Chicago paper.
Oh, after the playbook,
the iPad or something got stolen, he wrote that column about how bad. It was like, dude, what is wrong with you? Anyway,
that was a weird story. I'd forgotten about that.
Yeah, this is a terrible pick.
It's going to be a bust.
No, it's a terrible take. Yeah. All right, we got to talk about Miko.
Miko.
McCole.
Miko.
Or Steve had a good Spanish nickname.
El Rapido.
El Rapido.
That's what I'm talking about.
I love that.
Because they're in Mexico this week, right?
That's right. Yeah. Monday night.
El Rapido.
Yeah. Monday night football. See El Rapido.
Hardman.
You know, not probably the same cachet as Jim Brown, but Dave and I know this name at least, and Miko became the second Chiefs rookie with 5 touchdowns through his first 10 games, joining Otis Taylor. That's a name that we certainly remember from our childhood. And, you know, it was funny. Miko was having a quiet game, and then all of a sudden Patrick Mahomes does this sort of jump pass thing, which was a cool enough play as it was just to get the ball to convert on third down. And then all of a sudden Miko just turned on the Jets, and he was 10 or 15 yards past everybody in just an absolute blink for a 63-yard touchdown. So
it's a weekly thing that I think it's the NFL official account. They have all the rights to tweet out the videos, and It seems like every Sunday you just open up the account, you're going to get a Miko highlight of some sort.
I agree. That's what it's turned into.
Not enough ease and speed to explain how that guy runs.
All right, Steve, hang on just a moment. We'll get back to McColl and some of the other dogs in the NFL and big field of Bulldogs in the PGA event this week, too, where, hey, pay your caddy if you win. Just because he's a Mexican caddy doesn't mean you can stiff him. That was a year ago. All right, it is 9:31. Cooch. Time for a Southern Sports Center. And starting out with the Dogs, Georgia number 4 in the latest playoff selection committee poll. So the Dogs move up ahead of Alabama.
That music means one thing. It's a Wednesday. We're halfway to the weekend. And we got Steve Colquitt of Georgia Sports Communications. Right here on the morning show, 960 The Ref, presented by St. Mary's Medical Group. Logan and Dave, along with Steve. We're just the backup dancers this morning, man. And Dave can't dance. That's one of the problems.
He's Tony Orlando, and we're Dawn.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks for joining us.
You are showing your age today.
Thanks for joining us. And bundle up, by the way. Steve just came in from outside as he got here and said that don't let the sun shine. Don't let those pretty blue skies fool you. It's windy and it's cold.
Dave was late getting me in the door, too. I was staying out there freezing.
Oh,
man,
yeah.
I had
to go to the little boy's room.
But doesn't music like this kind of make you cold, just in a good way, like winter NFL?
This could be
Battle of the Midway.
We talk about your soundtrack in heaven or whatever, the afterlife. I can just go with this.
Dave chooses NFL film.
This would be fantastic.
And what was the game this week? Was it the Packers you said played in the snow globe?
Yeah, the Packers and Panthers.
Yeah, in the snow globe.
Yeah, that's what it looked like.
I never saw a highlight from that. I got to go dig that up.
No, it was cool. And then McCaffrey gets stopped at the half-inch line. He might have gotten in, but you couldn't tell.
He's legit. I did not think he was going to be that good at the NFL level. That guy is legit.
Just quickly,
by the way, fantasy football, if you have McCaffrey, he's playing the Falcons this weekend.
Yeah, take McCaffrey. Just letting you know. Has it ever snowed in any capacity, whether it be light or not, for a Georgia football game here in Sanford Stadium? I mean, the latest, obviously, would be Thanksgiving Saturday. I guess you played the December game back in 01, which it didn't snow. I'm just saying that's as late as you go.
Mm-hmm.
But has it ever had like a wintry mix for a Sanford Stadium game that you know of?
What year was it the Tech game? Because I wasn't here. There was a Tech game that everyone talks about was so brutally cold.
That was the Reggie Ball game.
No.
But that was also brutally cold.
Yeah.
I know that.
Yeah, I'm talking back. Okay. Not like in the Richt era, but even before that.
Well, if it doesn't stand out, that's what I was curious about. Was there one that stands out that was? Because I can't think of anything. Well, hopefully we never have a snow game in Sanford Stadium.
No, it'd be pretty hard. I mean, it's not impossible, but it'd be pretty tough for us to have one there.
Yeah.
I mean,
we've certainly had precipitation, but it's always been rain.
Boy, like that Kentucky one. Ooh. I mean, it was an all-timer. It wasn't that it rained that hard. It wasn't that it was that cold. I mean, it was cold. It wasn't that it was that windy. It was windy, but it was all three mixed together.
You know, I spend the first couple of hours of pregame and in-game on the field.
Yeah.
And, you know, once you're wet, you're wet. I think that's a Seinfeld line. You know, you can't get more wet
than
you're wet. And I didn't realize how cold it was until I went inside and like, my hands started kind of cracking and thawing out. So. But I also remember that Tennessee game years ago where it just rained and rained and rained and just would not. And then the one in Jacksonville, we'll always remember that.
Yeah.
That water was coming down the stands like a waterfall.
And that was the game, too, where, like, Shannon Mitchell caught 16 passes
in one of
the rainiest games we've ever played
with Eric Zier, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so where were we? Did we finish talking about McColl?
We did. We did finish on him.
Okay.
Let's mention Sean Williams.
Yeah, Sean Williams.
I thought Sean had a really interesting take the other day. The Bengals, who have just had such a tough go, and you know who knows what's happening with A.J. Green and Cordy Glenn, and Even Zach Taylor, I know I said
you, said you weren't going to mention
I wasn't
AJ.
All
right,
say
cut
it.
The
Golly.
Mic off. The mic is
out of
gone.
Here.
Even Zach Taylor, their coach, said, I'm not going to talk about them until they show up on the field. I think the word he used was gaff last week by saying that AJ was going to play. But Sean Williams, I thought, had an interesting line. And they got beat by the Ravens 49-13. And Lamar Jackson threw three touchdown passes and a long run for a touchdown. And the Bengals fans even started chanting MVP. And Sean said, you know what?
Funny?
He's got my vote. He was. They were asked about, you know, how was it simulating him during the week? And he's like, we couldn't.
Yeah.
We don't have anything, anybody even close to that. But, yeah, when the Bengals fans are chanting MVP,
yeah.
And Sean says, he's got my vote.
He's got my vote, definitely.
I'll always remember Sean for another quote. I don't know exactly what it was, but prior to the 2012 cocktail party down in Jacksonville, he kind of called the team out because much like this year, there was some struggles going on, and you headed into Jacksonville not knowing what was going to happen, and Sean Williams called him out and backed it up with a fantastic game. Love to see that man have a good career.
He said, we got to stop playing soft. We're playing too soft defensively. That goes for D-line, linebackers, corner, safeties. I don't know. We're not playing with the same attitude we played with last year. I don't know what it is. Me personally, if I was the coaches, I can't tell them what to do, but I'd have a Marlo Herrera in the game. I wouldn't take him out. I'd leave him and Ogletree in the game. That's what I want. Me as a player, I want to see a Marlo in the game, a Marlo and Ogletree in the game at linebacker. I don't want to see anybody else in the game at linebacker.
Mic drop. And then I think it was the first quarter where Sean Williams laid a hit on a Florida running back that broke his collarbone, or as a wide receiver one, that he knocked that dude out of the game, like, early in that game.
Sean Williams was a big hitter. Yes. That guy could bring the lumber.
Had the hit stick.
And he backed it up.
He did back it up.
Good for him.
It was good for him.
Sure, the coaches probably didn't appreciate that, but, hey, he backed it up.
Sean
Williams. I ain't the coaches, but Marlo Herrera and Ogletree need to be out there playing more. Yep.
All right, I saw this discussed on Twitter, and what did Jordan Jenkins – what is this with a fight in the stands? What happened on
– Yeah, so Jordan had a solid game, had two sacks in the game this week. They won. They beat the Giants, which is cool for the, you know, for the New York populace. And so he's doing one of those sort of quickie post-game interviews. And so the first question was about the win, and he talks about – he even called out Lorenzo Carter during that part as
there
well.
There you go.
They wanted to kind of show up his little brother or something like that. And then the next question is about something moving forward. And he just stops and he looks over the reporter's shoulder. He says, there's about to be a fight in the stands.
Yeah, I guess I should have prefaced that it wasn't Jordan Jenkins that got in a fight in the stands. He was just sort of dumbfounded by, like, hey, look at that.
So fans in New York were about to fight each other? That doesn't sound
what?
Right.
No, not at an NFL game in the Meadowlands on a Sunday afternoon. That's never occurred.
But, you know, Jordan's having a solid year. He's got five sacks already this year. His career best is seven. I think it's close to a contract year for him. So, you know, good for him on that.
And you're going to work it where we can have him on this segment at some point?
You know, he's a Twitter beast.
Yeah.
And I need to reach out to him and see about, you know, getting him on. Because I think he would do this. And especially now that they're winning, they've won a couple of games in a row here, too. So
he's got a nice beard he's rocking right now, too, man.
Does have a full beard.
Haven't seen him with a beard that full yet. So do what works, Jordan.
Which looks funny under the chin straps to me. You know, the Miami.
I saw about that the other day.
The Miami quarterback, Fitzpatrick. Yeah. You know, that thing's just hanging out of there.
I don't know how they get him to snap in there.
Jordan's
and then stay
a good
on.
Kid.
Yeah, exactly. What about Todd Gurley's comment about no touches in the fourth quarter? He says, I'm used to it.
I was going to ask if you knew what that meant. Yeah, that was a very cryptic.
I guess I didn't see I'm just reading what you put.
Yeah,
I didn't see the context of it.
The question was, were you surprised that you didn't have any carries in the fourth quarter, especially given that he had a pretty solid game with about 6 yards a carry? And his answer was, no, I'm used to it. I don't know what that means. I don't know if he's saying that – that the Rams have a rotation and it was just his turn to not be out there. But you would think, again, with when you've got a guy who was basically an MVP candidate last year, offensive player of the year candidate the last couple of years, that you would have him in the game at crunch time. But, for whatever reason, he was not in the personnel rotation, and that was a very cryptic comment that quote, I'm used to it.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know what that meant.
We'll see what happens there with the Rams. I just feel like, I mean, I know they've had some good offensive games this year, but if we look back, if the Rams in a couple of years from now have fallen off, it's look back towards the Super Bowl and then some of the games this year,
and,
too.
And I don't have it in front of me, but I think Todd is something like 23rd in the league right now in rushing.
Yeah.
You know, just after what he had gone, what he had done the last couple of seasons, that's really, really surprising to me.
By the way, they host the Bears Sunday night. I believe that's Sunday night football. So that'll be Roquan and Gurley.
Javon Wims. Leonard Floyd, Riley Ridley, if he's active.
That's right.
Matrez Patrick.
So we're going to have a lot of dogs on the Sunday game.
There's a lot of Bulldogs.
Chris Collinsworth won't be able to handle it.
Gator.
Sorry, Chris.
Yeah.
Will he slide in from the left or the right?
Hey, by the way, when you're watching, if you're not going to the Auburn game Saturday and you're watching CBS, do a shot, even if it's non-alcoholic. Every time Gary Danielson talks about when the dog's defensive line shifts.
Is that
or
right?
How about every time Gary's wrong when he predicts a play that's about to happen? That's also a way to get really sauced up.
Oh, anyway. Man. He brings out – he gets everybody fired up, doesn't he? Gary Danielson. All right, I didn't mean to. I'm not going off on Gary Danielson.
I think he's good at his job.
He was a Lions quarterback at one time.
Good color
commentator. Yes, he was. That's right. That's right. For a long time. All right. We got anything else?
Jacksonville's getting Nick Foles back this week. They had the bye, and looks like Gardner Minshew's going back to the bench. And Chris Conley, former Bulldog, of course, and he said that he's excited about having Foles back, that Foles is a guy who excels at the highest level under pressure, and he's a good leader of men.
I'll tell you what, speaking of Chris Conley real quick, I meant to bring this up last week. While we were down on Amelia Island for a couple of days prior to the cocktail party, we get the Jacksonville local news down there, and they did a feature on Chris Conley that he's a big surfer now. He's taken up surfing in the Jacksonville area, and he actually – it was really neat. It was like a three-minute segment they did where he got this local surfboard maker to make him this beautiful Georgia Bulldog surfboard. It's gorgeous, and he went out and surfed on it a little bit. It's pretty neat.
Chris Conley is a renaissance man.
Yes, he is.
That guy, he does what he wants to do, and he owns whatever it is that he's doing, and you'll never meet a guy who's more all in on whatever the project is, whether it's music or the Star Wars or the now surfing. I mean, that guy is he is a renaissance kind of guy.
Yeah, it just made me think of something. I wonder if he's ever been to the Renaissance Festival.
I love the Renaissance
Since he is a Renaissance man.
You can get any food you can think of on a stick.
Yeah. That'd be awesome, wouldn't it?
Bacon on a stick.
By the way, our man, the Rons, says 1974, the Tech game. Sleet in the stadium, coldest he's ever been. Georgia lost.
Mm.
Says it was during the BYOB days, and I couldn't drink enough to stay warm.
BYOB.
What do you mean during the? I think things are still going, aren't they?
Steve's a man of connections. Could you see if we could get BYOB back at Sanford Stadium? That'd be great.
That would be fantastic. Thank you very much, Ron. We do appreciate that.
Absolutely.
We'll come back and wrap things up here with our man Steve Cocklett, and we'll also mention the some other pro dogs that are getting things done right now. All right, it's 9:50. All right, putting the finishing touches here on the morning show presented by St. Mary's Medical Group. Dave and Logan along with you. Always love having our man Steve Cocklett in Wednesdays in the 9 o'clock hour from Georgia Sports Communications. I just don't like any of those other guys over there.
No, Steve's it, man.
Jigs and
Leland.
Lake and Leland. I can't stand any of those guys.
They don't like me,
Tim
so
Hicks.
That's why I like coming over here.
Mobley guy.
Claude Felton's just the worst.
Whew. There's a soundbite I'll save, Steve, just in case I need it. There you go.
Let me tell you. We don't even have enough time in a show for me to tell you all the good things about Claude. It's incredible. It really is.
And it's a tight-knit family group. I mean, we spend as much time together as we do with our own families.
Yeah.
And travel and nights and weekends. And
absolutely.
And I consider all those guys to be my brothers.
Yeah.
It's an amazing team that Claude has assembled, for sure.
And I consider y'all kind of like, maybe not brothers, but like stepbrothers.
Mm-hmm. straight from the movie.
That's straight right. Straight out. All right, by the way, all right, for the golf event in Mexico this week, PGA Tour event.
Is it the Catalina Wine Mixer?
It is, yes, all but right. They only play 80s, Joel. Keith Mitchell, Hudson Swafford, Kevin Kisner, Brendan Todd, Chris Kirk, great to see him back on the list, Russell Henley, Brian Harman, Harris English, and Sepp Straka are all in the field.
Nine Bulldogs.
Nine Bulldogs out of 140 or however many. Will
that would be friend of the show, Brendan Todd. Right?
That's right. Well, no, how about Keith Mitchell, Hudson Swafford, Kiz, Brendan Todd, Chris Kirk, Henley, Harman, Matt Harris maybe? Sepp lives in Athens, I think, doesn't he still?
So you're saying they've all been on
all
the show?
All been on the show, yeah, over awesome. The years, yeah.
How about
all
that?
All those guys. So we do appreciate that.
And you probably saw the word yesterday that for the RSM next week.
Our man Davis.
Davis Thompson.
Yeah.
A junior on the golf team.
And Spencer Alston will get to play in the Heritage.
In 2020.
Yeah.
Yeah, right before SECs. So good to see two current guys getting a chance to get their feet wet on the PGA
Fantastic.
Tour. And, it's just going to be a great experience for both of them. That's the main thing is whatever happens on the golf course is gravy, but to be able to be around that environment is going to be good for both of them.
Now, if any of those guys have El Tucan as their caddy this week and they win the tournament, he'll get paid correctly.
Good.
He'll get paid correctly. Matt Kuchar. Steve's like, I ain't saying nothing.
Your mic's on, Steve. Go ahead, man.
T-E.
No, I'm just kidding.
K-K-I-E. By the way, the Dogs, as we mentioned, have nine. So other than the nine that we mentioned, other than Bubba, and is he be the only other one that's
I think he's
got
only,
his card?
I think so, because I think Joey is Corn Ferry.
Right, Joey Garber.
This year, Joey Garber.
Yeah.
And T.J. Mitchell just got status on Corn Ferry for next season.
That's awesome.
Our numbers keep growing. So,
that is fantastic.
And he had Joey on the bag for him at the qualifying.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. All right. Hey, great stuff today. Thank you very much, Steve. Always great to see you. Lady Dogs tonight at 7 right here on the Ref.